if we'd remain standing and open our Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and reading from verse 10 through verse 14. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we reverently and humbly approach thy throne of mercy this morning, believing, Father, that you came down with a shout, and yet recognizing, Father, that man is too busy with their own little world around them to pay heed that the very God who created the heavens and the earth has come down to wrap up all things concerning salvation. And so, Lord, we just commit ourselves to the great plan in which you've come with a shout, which is a message, a voice, which is the resurrection, and the trump, which is the catching home. Father, we recognize that there are so many individual things involved with your shout, with your message, of which one is to change the inner man, getting us ready for the body change. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us, Lord, to receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we might cry as your Son Jesus cried, I and my Father are one. Father, we commit, Lord, our hearing. We commit, Lord, our speech, knowing that from the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And we ask, Father, that you would place your hand upon our mouth if we would say anything that wouldn't be pleasing to thee, but that you would cup your hands around our mouth and make it a megaphone that the world would hear if these words are coming from thee. And so, Lord, we just commit this study, the continuation of the masterpiece. We ask, Father, your blessings upon it. May it bring rest to our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Paul said, with all deceivableness of unright wiseness in them that perish. Those who are geared to perish. Those who are in the act of perishing because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And he says, for this cause, what cause? The fact that they did not receive a love for the truth, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, which Brother Branham said it's the lie. It should have been translated the lie, the same lie that was told Eve. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unright wiseness. And then Paul said, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, because God has chosen you out from the beginning through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You cannot worship God outside of truth. I don't care how much spirit you claim to have. Outside of truth, your worship is false. The only thing that made a false anointed different from a true anointed is not the anointing itself, but it's the things that they teach. It's their teaching. The teaching for the season. From the first seal, Brother Branham said, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, he's reading here from 2 Thessalonians, deceiving by unrighteousness in them that perish, not this bride, in them that's looking for such a thing, because they receive not the love of the truth, and Christ is the truth, and Christ is the word. But they'd rather have a creed, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. It should be translated here, as I looked in the lexicon, the lie, not a lie, the lie. The same one he told Eve, that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And from a sermon, God of this evil age, Brother Ram said, making a strong delusion, as the Bible said it would in 2 Thessalonians, how this man of sin would come into existence and sit in the temple of God, showing himself he was God, and cause a people to go into strong delusion to believe a lie. And believe it will be damned by it. That's the same thing he did to Eve. He gave her. Never told her the word wasn't right. But he gave her a strong delusion that she believed a lie. The spirit of delusion is of the devil. Devil's now working in the children of disobedience. Disobedient to what? What's the children of this day disobedient to? Like Eve was at the beginning, to the true word of God. So God sends them a strong delusion. Now how does God send it to them? Does God lie? God is not a man that he could lie, nor the Son of Man that he could repent. So how does God send them a lie? Like he did in the days of Elijah. Like he did in the days of Micaiah. He said, who will go down and be a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets? And so the devils come forward and they say, I'll do that. I'd have great pleasure in doing that. And God said, go. Now we know by our studies that this glory that we're called to is the Greek word doxa, which means the opinion, assessment, and judgment. In other words, it speaks of the very mindset that was in Christ. As Paul said in Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. And let me just say this, if you don't have the mind of God, you're not going in a rapture. And the mind of God comes through the doctrine. He also said in Philippians 3 and verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. And if in anything we be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So if your mind is not, or is not a reflection of the mind of God, God said if you're any otherwise minded, he would reveal it to you. So how do you then come back into the mind of God? It's by revelation. It's not by church going. It's not by church attendance. It's not by coming together and having a big group of people and praising God and worshiping God. The devil worships God. Worship has nothing to do with it. In fact, the true worship is, Webster says, it comes from two words, worth and ship. And the word worth means placing a value or an assessment. Having the right value, having the right assessment. And ship. Ship, like Brother Bosworth said, fellowship, two fellows in a ship. Ship is the actor state of being. So it's having the right state, having the right quality, having the right assessment of God, and you give that back to God. So what gives us the ability to be thus minded is revelation that comes from God. Now I'm going to entitle this sermon, Revelation or Delusion, because you're going to have either one. If you're not revelated, you're deluded. You're deceived. Any child who follows the ministry of William Branham should be able to quote from Matthew 16, verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, not as the Catholic Church says that that rock is Peter, but the rock is revelation. Upon this rock of revelation I'll build my church. Now, as I said, just about anyone who follows William Branham's ministry or his message has heard him say this enough times that they should be able to quote it and even talk intelligently about revelation, what it is, and how necessary revelation is to the believer. But why do the majority of ministers who claim to believe his message refuse to believe what Peter said that brought such praise from the lips of Jesus? In verse 13, it says, Jesus asked the disciples the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said unto them, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus called Peter blessed, and he said those notable words, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock, upon revelation, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But Peter had just called Jesus the Son of God, and the majority of ministers so-called who claim to follow the ministry of William Branham do not have the same revelation as Peter had, that was given to Peter by God the Father, as Jesus pointed out. Why? Because they won't say that Jesus is the Son of God. They say he's his own Father. Completely denying the principles that the prophet of God taught. Completely denying Scripture. Hundreds, if not thousands, of Scripture. And yet claim to believe the Bible. Claim to believe the prophet. They don't believe the prophet. So this morning we're going to examine the difference between revelation and delusion, because both are very powerful influences in the world today, and not only in the world, but amongst those who claim to believe the end time message of Malachi 4. And let's face it, I am not interested in the world. It's a lost cause. But what I am interested in is the sons and daughters of God who are sitting under false shepherds who have no more revelation from God than the one as Pentecostals have. They've got oneness Pentecostalism, except for they believe in serpent seed. Now, to understand the difference between revelation and delusion, we must know what the two words mean. Because as Brother Branham said about the difference between the appearing and the coming, he said they're two different words and they mean two different things. And so does revelation and delusion. Although many people can't tell the difference because they're deluded and they think they're revelated. Now, the word revelation means the act of revealing or disclosing. Something revealed, something not previously known or realized, but is made known or realized. In Scripture, it is a manifestation of divine will or truth. So you see that revelation is something that God had beforehand hidden, but then uncovers or discloses so as to reveal or make that truth known to men. That's what revelation is. It's an uncovering. It's a disclosing. It's an unveiling. Now, let's contrast that with delusion. For delusion comes from deception, the act of deceiving. And to deceive, you must take a truth and do something to hide it from men. So revelation takes that which is hidden and reveals it, while deception takes that which is true and does something to hide it from men. And the result is delusion. So we can say revelation reveals or manifests, while deception hinders or covers up the truth. In other words, then a delusion is anti or the opposite of revelation. And yet I would say 99% of the people that follow this message are deluded, not revelated. So we can say revelation reveals, revelation manifests, revelation uncovers, while deception, delusion, covers, hides. Now, I've taught the message doctrine to 1,000+ ministers face-to-face around the world. No one else has done that, so I can speak from experience. And I will not in any way say that all that I have taught have learned the doctrine. In fact, I would be very surprised if 10% really understood and received what I taught. Now, does that make me a poor teacher? I don't think so. Because after all, the Holy Ghost is the teacher. Amen. Brother Vail said, when I'm gone, Brian, he said, people saying there's no more teaching. He said, that's an error. That's wrong. Amen. He said, the Holy Ghost is the teacher. And in fact, Jesus said in John 6:45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. So God's the one doing the teaching. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Well, what if you don't learn? What if you're not paying attention when God is teaching? What if you got your mind made up? You think you're going to learn? So you see, even when God himself is doing the teaching, not everyone who is taught learns what he teaches. And we know that the Holy Spirit is the real teacher anyway, but God uses men to do his teaching. But it takes the Holy Spirit to anoint the teaching to make it a divine revelation. From blasphemous names, Brother Branham said, number one, coming to your mental faith, right here comes the Holy Spirit, coming down into your mental faith, making it a spiritual faith. Then the spiritual faith only recognizes the Word. Now, and number two and three, then you'll have spiritual. You'll have the Holy Spirit, and we'll seal all these things into you as that Holy Spirit covers this. From your faith up to the Holy Spirit seals you in with Christ. Then you become one. Amen. You become one. See? You and Christ together. Live together. At that day you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. See? Then that's a sealed unit of the Lord God. Now, and then they are vindicated and placed. Then that time takes place. They become vindicated sons and daughters of God. So notice that Brother Branham is telling us here that when the Holy Ghost comes into your mental faith, he anoints that mental faith and it becomes a spiritual dynamic revelation. And then it is sealed in there and no one can ever take it from you. And he said it makes you one with Christ. And notice he said when we come to that place, we are ready for the placing of sons and daughters of God. In other words, we must be in that condition where our mental faith has been anointed with the Spirit of God and it has dropped down into our soul, sealing us in and making us one with the mind of Christ. And we must come to that condition in order to be placed in the adoption of sons. So how much time are you spending learning your role as sons and daughters? Or are you spending all your time watching videos? How much time are you listening to the Word of God for the hour to cleanse your mind of all the tramura and filth of the world? Again, from blasphemous names, he said the biggest part of our faith is mental faith. By hearing the Word, it brings us into a mental recognition of God. But if this coming from above, oh brother, if it ever strikes this, there is a godly spiritual faith. Then what does that faith do? That faith recognizes only the Word. No matter what anything else says, it only recognizes the Word, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word's still God. And the Word was made flesh and dwell among us, and when the Word itself is pouring into our faith, our mental faith becomes a spiritual revelation. So pour the Word into your minds. Purge your minds from all the garbage that you take in on a daily basis. And upon this foundation I'll build my church, see? Not upon a mental conception of church joining, a mental conception of that, but upon the revelation. Then when streams of grace has poured into that mental faith that you've got, then upon this, a spiritual revelation, I'll build my church and the gates of hell can't prevail against it, see? That shows that they would be against it, but it'll never prevail. Oh, what a glorious thing. So Brother Branham is telling us that it's the grace of God that does this. It's a special dispensation of grace. The Holy Spirit comes in, and when word is piled upon word, how many tapes are we listening to a day? Not a week, a day. How much are you absorbing of the Word of God? How much does your language reflect the Word for the hour? How much of your activities reflect that you're getting ready for going home? Now notice how Brother Bram tells us that the Holy Spirit comes and anoints our mental faith, and then it becomes a spiritual revelation that builds upon the word upon word upon word. That Brother Bram says that when these streams of grace pour in upon our mental faith, then he says when them streams of grace is poured into that mental faith that you've got, then upon this, a spiritual revelation. Now Peter, the one who Jesus prays for receiving the revelation of the Godhead, that there is one God and that he had a son, and Jesus was that Son of God. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 13, he tells us, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, when you gird up your loins, you're getting ready to move out. And when you gird up the loins of your mind, you're getting ready to move mentally. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You should be earnestly expecting for that grace to come in. Why? Because it's going to change your mind. It's going to give you the mind of Christ. It's going to get rid of all the garbage. Notice he says at the end time there will be a certain grace that will be brought to you at the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 we read, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Now notice that what this grace is supposed to do. Verse 5, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance, and that word utterance was translated from the Greek word logos, which we know as the word, but it also means doctrine and teaching, or instruction, and in all knowledge. So we see this grace is to enrich us like fertilizer does. Fertilizer enriches the soil to make the seed that's planted in the soil to grow and become a fully mature, ready for the harvest crop. And so this grace is to come among us at the time of the apocalypse, the unveiling of Christ. This grace is that you might be enriched in all logos, in all doctrine, all instruction in righteousness. That you might become a fully mature son or daughter of God. even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift. And that word is charisma. And it means endowment, as in mental acuity or ability to understand. So God sends a special anointing of grace in order to anoint our minds with the doctrine, so that we come behind in no understanding. Waiting for the coming, the apocalypse, the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So God wants us to have the same mind. Let this mind that was in Christ be in you. And that's the whole purpose of the end time revelation. That's the whole purpose of the shout. That's the whole purpose of God coming down in this hour, is to put the mind that was in Christ, to put it in you. But we sit and we'd rather fill our little minds with a bunch of garbage from Hollywood and everything else. Look, I'm just as much to blame as anybody. But the fact is that we don't focus enough. I know at least I do listen to 2 or 3 tapes a day. I do try to fill my mind with the thoughts of God. So you see that the grace that Brother Branham was talking to us about is the same grace that Peter and Paul spoke of, that would come at the time of the apocalypse or unveiling of the mighty God. And it was to produce in us an anointing upon the doctrine and knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that we might understand our role as sons, giving us the same mind that was in Christ and readying us for the adoption as obedient sons. So we see the importance of revelation to the believer. Revelation is what seals us in. Revelation is what takes all the teaching by the fivefold ministry and anoints that mental faith with an ability to take it back to the Word and place word upon word upon word, bringing it to a supernatural dynamic revelation that seals us into Christ the Word and readies us for the adoption. God is waiting on us. First John 2 and verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Tell me these people in the message that deny the Father and the Son are not antichrist. I'm going to tell you, you're antichrist. Because John said, if they don't bring this revelation unto you, don't even let them into your house. Don't wish them Godspeed, or you'll be guilty of their wicked and evil things. That's what he said. Well, you don't believe me? Let's turn to it. 2 John. Verse 9 and 10. Whosoever transgresses. Now the word transgress means to go beyond the limits. So whoever goes beyond the limits and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Now not only do they not have God, but they don't echo God, because that Greek word hath, the word is echo. They don't reflect God. They can't say the same thing. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. He possesses not only the Father but the Son, but he also... Because Jesus said, that day you'll know that I am in you and the Father is in you. I in you, you and me. But the word also is the word hath. It means echo. It means to reflect. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. There you are. So much for these message believers that don't believe there's a Father and a Son. It's evil! I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying it to make a point. It's evil. Do you understand? Evil. Not everybody says, Lord, Lord, shall enter in, but those that do the will of my Father. He says, he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And is a conjunction. Brother Rand taught us that. You ought to know that from school. It links two things, a Father and a Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. And how can you acknowledge the Son when you say that Jesus and his Father were the same? That Jesus was his own Father. Then you deny that he's a Son. Because how in the world could a man be his own Father? Such lunacy. It's like the Trinitarian. Well, they're co-equal and co-existent, co-eternally existent. Yeah, how can a Son who has a beginning be co-eternally existent? And how can someone who says, I can do nothing of myself, but what I do, the Father showed me what to do, how could it be co-equal? The Son is not sovereign, neither are you sovereign. But there is one who is sovereign, that's God. And he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Why? Because if you acknowledge there's a Son, there's got to be a Father. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you in all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. That's why I said, even God himself, when he came, and he ministered through his Son Jesus, they didn't learn. Why? Because they didn't receive the Spirit of God. If you don't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you'll never learn this message. You can sit for 20, 30 years and be in this message and say, well, God sent a prophet, glory to God, God sent a prophet. But unless that Spirit of God anoints you to this word, it's a religion to you. But when God anoints your soul, it becomes alive. And you become alive to the word. And everything you see is God. Everywhere you look, you see God. Because you're so full of God. So we see that the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon the believer is what allows you to know and understand the deep things of God. That's why Brother Vale said, well, Brian, he said, we've got people here that got it but don't got it. In other words, they might be able to mentally talk it, but I don't see it in their life. It's a mental thing to them. Until the Holy Ghost comes in and takes that mental, And he brings it and he anoints that mental faith that you've got. And you'll know when that happens, when you start feeding on word upon word upon word, building up your faith. Then it becomes a spiritual revelation. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 1, Paul says, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't come giving you a bunch of flowery speech. I didn't come saying, well, Lord, bless you, my brother. Oh, it's so good to see you. No, he said, I came and I reproved and I rebuked with all longsuffering and doctrine. And my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that is the problem that we have right here in this message, that that men have received their learning from men and not from God. Brother Brown taught us in his sermon, Voice of the Sign, he said, the elected listens to the voice, but the unelected ignores and says nonsense, and they go on. We'll take that same old school. That's the way they did in the days of Luther. That's the way they did in the days of Wesley. And that's the way they're doing today. And from God is rich in mercy. Brother Brown said, if a man comes out with an odd, peculiar ministry that's found in the Bible to be the truth, and that man stays right in the same old denominational doctrine, forget it. Nothing to it. God don't do a thing like that. That thing that's rotten manna that's got termites in it or wiggle tails or whatever you want to call it from 40, 50 years ago, still trying to eat that old manna that fell way back there years ago, and the children of Israel on their journey, new manna fell every night. That's right. You couldn't keep it over. We don't live with some other age gone by. We're eating new manna, fresh manna out of heaven in our journey as we go on. minister come to me, two ministers come to me in Uganda. They said, well, why'd you come here and you're just stirring up our whole country? I said, brother, I said, if I came and God didn't stir it, I said, then God didn't send me. If I came and you just heard the same old thing you've been hearing, I said, God didn't send me. I said, Brother Branham said the same thing in Voice of the Sign. From his sermon, God, Rich in Mercy. Why do men keep preaching the same old denominational oneness doctrine and claim to believe a sign? Or the sign. They see the prophet, so they see the sign. But why do they keep preaching the same old watered-down doctrine that they held back in Pentecost? When the prophet said, I am not a oneness. And they say he was. Brother Brown said, many of you listening to this tape. Many of you listening to this tape. Say, Brother Branham is a oneness. I am not. You're both wrong. Both Trinity and oneness, you're both wrong. It's down the middle of the road. So if many of you that are listening to the tape say Brother Branham is a oneness, and many of you listening to the message are nothing but oneness. From the token, Brother Branham said he displayed his sign as Messiah and so forth, and many of them said, yes, I could go for that. Well, now, if that was a sign, there's got to be a voice of that sign. What was the voice behind it? When he began to teach his doctrine, and he called them bunch of snakes in the grass, he wasn't popular from then on. When the voice came with the sign went first. When Jesus began to call them snakes in the grass. And you expect me to do anything different? I'll tell you like Brother Vail said, the make-believers have taken over the message. Let's face it, the make-believers have taken over the message. They don't believe what we believe. They don't preach what we're preaching. And I don't say that to have some kind of a difference. Look, I'm preaching what Brother Branham said. I'm preaching what Paul said. Preaching what the Apostle Peter said. John said. Jude said. But they won't teach it from the Bible. In fact, they avoid their Bibles. They got a pretty holy Bible because they got a lot of holes in it where they cut out the scriptures because they refuse to teach it to the people. So we see that the doctrine is so vitally important because it is the fertilizer upon the seed, bringing it into manifestation of the life that lays within it. And Jesus said they did not want this doctrine. They wanted the doctrine of man and by teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, they made the word of God have none effect to themselves. You think what they've got today in this message is going to get them out into a rapture? You think it's going to get them ready for an adoption? Hogwash, to borrow Brother Bale's phrase. All it's getting them more and more is into organization all the time. Building bigger organization, building bigger networks, bigger links so they can have a bigger ministry so they can get more money for themselves. Oh yeah. Brother Bale said sending out their tapes, that's all they do is to get money from it. Yeah. He said, that's a big scheme. Send out your videos. Send out your tapes so that people can get... send it to the poor people in Africa where you're not going to get any money. Then it'll show if you really mean what you're standing for. If you only send it to those that can pay, yeah, then we know what your motive is. And Paul said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of God, save the spirit of man that's in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knoweth. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So it takes the Holy Ghost in you to know the things that are freely given by God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And if you hear but you do not learn, it is because you might have heard but you did not believe. Or else, what you heard you really did not hear, and what you saw you really did not see, nor did you perceive or understand, lest God should have to heal them, as Jesus quoted in Matthew 13:10. So by hearing and not hearing and seeing and not seeing, it shows they have a preconceived idea of what it was that they were hearing and listening to and seeing. But their preconceived notions were wrong. That is why they heard and did not hear and saw but did not see. Nor did they understand, because their understanding was already made up. Can't tell me those people that heard Jesus preach but never learned. Why didn't they learn? Because they already had their mind made up. Look, God's word is just as plain as the reading on a book. People say, well, I believe every word you say, Brother Branham. Said, that just means you can read. That don't mean nothing. Well, you know, the evidence that you're born again, baptized with the Holy Ghost, that you believe the word for the hour. Okay, then let me ask you something. What is the word for the hour? God sent a prophet? That's not the word for the hour. The word for the hour is the voice of the sign. It's the doctrine. And if you believe it, you'd live it. It would show in your life. You'd hunger and thirst for more and more and more and more and more. But if you just get enough coming to church on Sunday, get it once a week, I don't think you're even born again. I think you need to get on your knees and pray until God fills you with the Holy Ghost, until you get a hunger and thirst, because Jesus said, they that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. They shall be filled. That's a promise from God. But you've got to want it. Instead of listening to talk radio all day long, put on the voice of God for the hour. See if God has something for you to change your life from negative to positive. Now, I've seen this firsthand in my ministry overseas. And as I said, I taught over 1,000 plus ministers in this message. And having met them, having talked to many of them, and received questions from a whole lot of them, I think I can say that there is not a person that I have met who claims to believe William Branham's message that cannot quote Malachi 4, cannot quote Luke 17:30, cannot quote Revelation chapter 10. And all these individuals also know by heart the emphasis Brother Branham spoke of how Peter, by revelation, spoke those most notable words. And yet if you ask them to speak what those most notable words were, I have many doubts, or I doubt that many of them could even quote what Peter said. Or at least they might quote them, but they do not believe them. Why? Because they do not believe what Peter said, that one prays from Jesus, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So if the word of God is shown to them, like it is shown to the real believer who believes it, but nothing happens to the other, then what happens to them? I'll tell you what happens to them. How about delusion? If one is revelated, the other's deluded. Paul told us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now let me just read that one more time for emphasis. That they all, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth. Oh, but you know, they're so sweet. You know, they just do so many things that are nice. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unright wiseness. That's why John said, don't even let them into your house. They'll pollute it. Now, a delusion is a false belief strongly held in spite of invalidating evidence. In other words, evidence to the contrary, but they'll hold on to their belief anyway. And no matter how many hundreds of scriptures you give them, and no matter how many hundreds of quotes from Brother Branham you give them, they still refuse to believe the prophet of God and the word of God that says there's one God and he had a son. That is one strong delusion, brother. I have talked to these men and they tell me that they believe every word that Brother Branham said. but will right out deny and disagree with what he said. So instead of revelation that feeds upon word upon word upon word, they receive a strong delusion that feeds upon what other men have said, and thus they would rather believe a lie than the truth vindicated by scripture and prophetic utterance of thus saith the Lord. Oh, I believe everything Brother Branham said, but I don't believe the way you teach it. Huh? Oh, I believe the Bible, but I don't believe the way you teach it. I said, do you believe that the body was deity? Yes, I do. I said, Brother Branham said it's not. Don't tell me you believe Brother Branham. I told those ministers in Kampala, bunch of heathens. Not all of them, most of them. I said, why don't you go out and find your own message, make your own message, start your own message, because you're simply not preaching what Brother Branham preached. I said, the Catholic Church claims Peter to be their pope. I said, Peter is no more their pope than William Branham is your prophet, because you won't preach what he said. Don't claim him as your prophet if you don't believe what he said. Don't claim him as your prophet if you won't teach what he taught. And don't claim Jesus Christ as your Savior if you won't teach what he taught. Because his doctrine was that God is my Father, I'm his Son. I can do nothing but what the Father showeth me to do. That's the doctrine of Christ. As I said, I've talked to these men, and they tell me that they believe every word that Brother Branham said, but they will right out deny and disagree with what he said. So instead of revelation that feeds upon word, they receive a strong delusion that feeds upon what other men have said. And thus they would rather believe a lie than the truth vindicated by scripture and prophetic utterance of thus saith the Lord. And they'll go from church to church and say, don't believe what Brother Brian is saying. Or don't even call me brother. What Brian Kosorik is saying, because he's teaching he veils two gods. And I said, show me one time, Brother Vail or I, have ever preached two gods. I said, you're nothing but a bunch of liars. You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in truth because there's no truth in him. Jesus said, why can't you hear my word? Because there's nothing in you to hear it with. There's no place for the word in your soul. I'm not mad. Honestly, I'm not. I really feel good. I feel the anointing of God upon me. This message is going to go out. And this message is going to indict the ministers in this message who fail to line up with the message they so claim. Now, if revelation is to anoint our mental faith and create in us supernatural understanding and bring in us into a ready state for adoption, then deception will do just the opposite. It will cause you to fall away from the faith, which is the revelation, and there's only one revelation, and that's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, you can't tell me that these men do not intentionally hold to error rather than the truth, because Jesus said in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The Bible tells us that they lie in wait to deceive. Paul said in Ephesians 4:14 that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And why do you think men would travel halfway around the world just to try to squash my meetings? Tell others not to go to my meetings? Tell them to boycott my meetings? And influence men to stay away from the meetings? Jesus said in Matthew 23:13, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourself, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. And again, Paul said in Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You go back and listen to false anointed ones at the end time. Brother Branham will talk about little Micaiah, little prophet of God, after the prophet Elijah went off the scene. Little Micaiah on the scene. And he wouldn't bow to the pressure of those organizational prophets. And Brother Branham said, well, they say, you know, we got millions, Micaiah, you only got a handful. God's men have always just had a handful. Brother Bram said, how many of you here in these meetings in Jeffersonville, how many of you from over 150 miles away? Oh, I see over half. I see all the hands. How many from over 750 miles away? I see half the hands go up. How many from over 1,500 miles away? Oh, I see quite a number. How many are you from Jeffersonville? Oh, I see six. A ministry is never accepted until that ministry is dead and gone. Brother Vail, when he's at the height of his ministry, had not even 12 people on a Wednesday night in his services. I know I went there for a year when we first moved to Cincinnati area. A dozen. Well, that's what Jesus had too, didn't he? One of them was the devil. The Bible tells us that they lie in wait to deceive. Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the slate of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Jesus said, woe unto you, scribes, because you neither go in yourself, neither will you let them that are entering to go in. Paul said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That is, hold down the truth. Now that word hold was translated from the Greek word kateko, and it means to hold down, to withhold, or to hold back. In other words, they suppress the truth. Notice that they hold down the truth in unrightwiseness, which means they hold the truth with an incorrect understanding. That's how they hold it down. So you see, by teaching error instead of the truth, they hold it back from the people. So in order to withhold the truth from the people, they cause the people to stay away from the truth. Now to do this, they must lie about the truth of the Godhead, and so they teach that we teach two gods. And thus they're able to suppress the knowledge of the truth from the people because the people become afraid to check into it themselves. Now in order to teach a lie, they do not come right out and deny the scripture, no. And they will not say they disagree with Brother Branham. But then when you quote from the scripture in William Branham, they say that you're making it up and twisting it. They say that they believe him, and yet they deny what he taught. I told them, why don't you just go off and preach your own message? They're not teaching what Brother Branham taught anyway. Why would they even claim his message when they're teaching a oneness doctrine? So what do? Well, they tell the people. They say, well, Lee Vail is preaching two gods. Brother Brian's preaching two gods. And they tell the people the scripture does not mean what it says. When the Bible says both the Father and the Son, well, you see, it really doesn't mean that. Brother Brian said the intellectual is trained to bypass the word. The scripture says that Jesus was not his own father, so they just won't share those scriptures with the people. The scripture says that God left Jesus in Gethsemane and God entered into his son in the river Jordan, so they just won't read that scripture to the people. The scripture tells us that Jesus was the Son of God and that he was born so, that he had a beginning. So they just won't read those scriptures to the people. And pretty soon they won't read too much of the Bible, so they end up quoting other men or just yelling and screaming in a so-called worship with lots of music and no more word. And don't think Brother Ram preached the indictment, that he wasn't indicting a whole lot of ministers that claim to follow the message, but outright deny it. He wasn't just indicting those denominational ministers, although they were included. From the indictment, Brother Ram said, you poor intellectual, spiritual, deprived, rejected upon your own grounds. You read the same Bible that any other man can read, but you've turned down the Spirit of God till the Bible said that you'd be given over to a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned by it. You actually believe that you're right. And the Bible says that you'd believe it and be damned by the same lie that you believe to be the truth. Therefore, I indict you by the word of God. You are teaching the people an error and crucifying the principles of Christ, of holiness and life above, as a person might walk out on the street and be a different person. So what is the best way to hide the real diamond? Put it in a room with 1,000 counterfeits. And what is the best way to hide the truth? Put it in a message with 1,000 counterfeit ministers preaching it. 1,000, probably 6,000 preaching it. Look, the counterfeit religion isn't out there somewhere. It's right in our midst, trying to keep you from the truth of the message. As Brother Bram said, and how can you worship God outside of truth? You can't. So they try to change the truth, and Paul told us how that they do it. He said in Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. And they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And so instead of preaching about the Son of God and how that He came and laid down His life, they preach about the bride, the creature instead of the Creator. And so they will not believe the record that God gave of His Son, and they do not in essence, and in essence, if they do not believe the record that God gave of His Son, in essence, they're calling God a liar. That is the Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. God gave a record of His Son. Did you know that? And what was the record that God gave of His Son? John told us in John 1 and verse 32. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon Him and remained in Him. And again, he said in verse 34, and I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God, not God the Son. You see how they take and twist the word God the Son? God. There's no place in the Scripture called God the Son. It's the Son of God. So the error of the wicked is to take the Word of God and twist it in such a way as to distort it, so it does not say what it actually says. It means to lie about the truth in order to cause the people to stay away from it. That's how they suppress the truth. That's delusion. In 2 Peter 3, verse 17, we read, ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led astray with the error, the delusion of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And as Jude said in Jude 1, verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and have ran greedily after the error, after the delusion of Balaam, for reward, and perishing in the gainsaying of Korah. And what was the error of Balaam? Well, we're all the same. That was the error of Balaam. We're all the same. But we're not all the same. 99% of the message preachers do not preach what you're hearing from this pulpit. 99% of the preachers of the message do not teach what William Branham taught. Don't tell me we're all the same. And they do not want to hear it either. So they call it two gods, which is a blatant lie, because they know that we do not preach two gods, but they say it anyway, for the purpose of suppressing it. Spirits don't change, they just move from one vessel to the other. They cause the people to be afraid to follow Jesus. They said He preached two gods because He said, I am the Son of God. And they said anyone who follows Him will be excommunicated from the synagogue. And they did the same thing to Brother Branham. They did the same thing to Luther, the same to Wesley, the same to Jesus. And Jesus said that they will do the same thing to you. Jesus said in His prayer to the Father, John 17:14, I have given them Thy word, and the world hateth them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Why the world hate them? Because Jesus gave us God's word. And He also said in John 16:2, they shall put you out of the synagogue, yea, the time shall come that whoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. So they, Brother Brown said, there's more way to kill than just with a knife or with a bullet. He said, kill a man's influence. So they'll think they're doing God a service. I went all the way to Uganda just to keep the brothers from going to Kasorik's meeting. So I spread the lie of that he preaches two gods. I did such a great thing in Jesus' name. Yeah, there come a time when they'll kill you thinking they're doing God a service. This day the Scripture's been fulfilled. And these things that they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor Me. That's what Jesus said. And again, Jesus said in John 15:20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted Me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept My saying, they will keep yours also. But all of these things will they do unto you for My name's sake. Oh, they're doing it in the name of Jesus. Because they know not Him that sent Me. They know not the Father, see. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin. If I had not gone to Uganda and preached the word right in their faces, they would not have sinned. But now there's no cloak for their sin. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. If I had not gone into all the world and taught them firsthand that they might know without a doubt that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then they might not have had been held accountable. But I have gone and I have taught them the truth, and they are accountable. And then Jesus said in verse 23, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not come among them, if I had not done among them the works which no other man had did, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." And they hated William Branham without a cause, because he came to them and did what no other man could do, and they turned down his doctrine to hold to some silly denominational teaching that Jesus was his own Father. And so they do not know what to do with the body. And so some say that it went back to gases. Can you imagine a mediator that's nothing but a gas bag? And you talk about silly women laden with diverse lusts and endless wise fables. You got it right here among us in the message. And they have attacked Brother Vail ruthlessly without a cause. Many who echo the false lies that say he teaches two gods have never even heard him preach, but they deny his ministry because Brother Branham said they would. He said, "I got a gift, they don't want it." He said, "Brother Vail, you got a gift of teaching, they don't want it." But listen to what John says, 1 John 4 and 6. "We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, which is the spirit of delusion." Now, Brother Branham warned us in a sermon Christ revealed in his own word that people would lose their minds in the end time. He said, in the Laodicean age, the people were what? Naked. Are they? Blind. What good does light do to a blind man? If the blind leads the blind, don't they all fall in the ditch? Naked, blind, and don't even know it. Even their mental faculties are gone. Their spiritual faculties, a mental, spiritual understanding, see? Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, the power of revelation. They don't even believe in it, see? They don't believe in such things as prophets and so, and they don't believe in it. From the way of a true prophet, he said, the Bible said if they wouldn't believe the word, he'd give them a strong delusion to believe a lie and would be damned by it. That's exactly what these organizations and people of this nation are doing today, believing a lie to be damned by it. And from God's rapt gift, he said, God said he'd give them over to a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned by it. God said he would do it. You refuse right, you have to take wrong. There's no other way. You refuse to go right, you have to go left. Go some other way besides right. So you can't go right and wrong at the same time. When you refuse the Holy Ghost, they refuse Christ, they refuse God's program, they refuse the messenger, they refuse everything. So therefore, they're left in their sin. There is nothing left for them but judgment. So they've turned down the truth in favor of a lie, and they will be damned by it. Therefore, I indict this bunch of self-proclaimed clergy around the world for crucifying the Son of God afresh and killing him before your congregations. I indict you for murdering the Son of God and putting him to the public shame. You say, how do you indict us for killing the Son of God? Because you have tried to do away with God's only begotten Son. Therefore, I indict all of you make-believing ministers around the world for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Oh, you say, by what authority do you indict us? By the same authority that William Branham already indicted you. As Micaiah quoted Elijah in his day and indicted those phony, self-elected prophets of God, so too I quote from Elijah of this day, and I indict you self-styled clergy, you self-appointed ministers of God, you self-indulging so-called ministers of God, I indict you for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ again in this hour. As the same God that sent Brother Branham around the world 7 times to a generation, that same God has sent me before the ministers of the world around 21 times around the world, and I indict you for your unbelief. I indict you for claiming to believe the message and yet deny it by your doctrine. Now, Brother Branham said from the indictment, he said, how do you indict them, Brother Branham? I indict them that God has clearly identified himself in his word in this last day and made himself to know that he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever, and they've coldly turned it down. And you're guilty of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ by blaspheming the Holy Ghost. That's right. We take you on to Hebrews 10 again, where it tells us in the scripture not only being impossible, but you can never, it separates you from God eternally, you can never come into the presence of God again when you turn down the Holy Ghost and make fun of it. from the indictment, paragraph 54, he said they crucify the truth and they make it a blasphemy. They call it fanaticism and so forth, and not knowing what they're blaspheming, the very God that they go to church to serve. Therefore, I indict this bunch of clergy today. I indict this generation in the name of Jesus Christ. Under the authority of God's word, you are crucifying him again. And from paragraph 49, he said, notice they, the worshipers, the men who had looked for the promise, the men who had looked for it through years and ages and with nothing to do but in that constant seminary, but they had divided the word according to the teaching of the seminary, and they had missed the very truth of it. They, the priests, the ministry of that day, there at their headquarters, they, the ministry of that day, was killing the very God, the very Lamb, the very one that they claimed that they were worshiping, they were killing. And today I indict this bunch of ordained ministers. In their creeds and denominations, they are crucifying to the people the very God that they claim that they love and serve. And I indict these ministers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ upon their doctrine. And he said again, upon any of these words that they have submitted creeds for, I indict them as guilty, and the blood of Jesus Christ upon their hands for crucifying afresh the Lord Jesus Christ a second time. They are crucifying Christ to the public, taking from them the thing that they're supposed to be giving to them, and they substituted something else in its place, a church creed for popularity. In other words, they're suppressing, holding back the truth. And how do they do it? By substituting something else. And from reproach for the word, he said, I'm going to indict this generation for killing Jesus Christ, crucifying him afresh. I'm going to bring an indictment before this ministerial association, God willing. They're guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ for crucifying him afresh. Yes, sir. Indict the whole. And Peter indicted them on the day of Pentecost. He said, you with wicked hands have crucified the Prince of Life. God raised up. We're witnesses. We brought an indictment. I'm going to take the word of God and indict every denomination there is. And every man on the face of the earth that's guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ. God help me to be his attorney at that day. Amen. From the indictment, paragraph 119. You crucified the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. His gospel that you claim to preach, you crucify him. I indict these Christ-rejecting generation by the word of God and by its power and by of this last day's vindication that he's still alive. And as Brother Brown said in indictment paragraph 117, I indict this bunch of preachers that have sold themselves for a mess of pottage like Esau did. I indict them as prostitutes of the gospel. How many men in this message have prostituted the message? From the indictment, paragraph 111, I've got a right to indict this generation. I've got a right to do it as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ with his signs and proving that he is God. I've got a right to bring an indictment against this generation because his hardest spear points has been right from the pulpits where they criticized and said, don't go out to hear that stuff. That's of the devil. Right in the place that's supposed to love him. And the very signs that Jesus said that would take place. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. The word, a discerner in thoughts of intents of the heart, and it's called the devil. Where from? The pulpits, the holy places. Oh God, how can he look down? Just mercy, that's all. Grace. We can't do nothing else but head for judgment. We're already there. And they're doing the same thing in this message. He said the sharpest points that come right from the pulpits. He said they say don't go out to hear that stuff. That's of the devil. That's exactly what they're saying. They haven't changed. They just brought their denominational filth and garbage right into this message. The make-believers have taken over this message. From the indictment, paragraph 90, remember they were very religious people that did that. They wasn't outsiders. They were the religious people of the day, and that's what's doing it today is the religious people. Same crucifixion, same thing today, quickly. There they crucified him then, see? Sure. Then they were rejecting God's word made manifest, accepting their creeds instead of the word. Is that what they're doing today? That's exactly doing the same thing. He was the word and they rejected that word. That's one point that I want you not to miss. I want you not to miss it. He was the word, and when they rejected him, they rejected the word. And when they did reject him, they finally crucified him. And that's what they've done today. Reject the word of God and accepted their creeds and has crucified publicly before the congregations the working of the Holy Spirit. And they're guilty, and I indict them in the name of Jesus Christ. And from paragraph 72 in the indictment. Now the second crucifixion then, if a man accepts Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, a creed instead of the word, titles instead of the name, what does he do to his people? He crucifies the effects of the word to the people. When he says Mark 16 was just for a generation and God said himself right there, Jesus talking to them said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. How far? Every nation. every creed, every tongue, every race, every people, the same gospel, and these signs shall follow them that believe. And when a man tries to cut that out of the Bible, he crucifies the effects of the gospel to that congregation. So I indict you in the name of Jesus Christ, you're guilty of murdering the Lord. And they said about me going into all the nations, teaching the doctrine. And they said, well, he doesn't teach the message, he just teaches doctrine. Good grief. And they say, well, it doesn't say going to the nations and teach. It says to preach. Well, I've got news for you. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now that word teach comes from the Greek word which means to teach or to instruct. And Jesus said, all nations, I've not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. Go ye forth into all nations and teach the gospel. But they say preach with power. So I would like to see them preach as hard as I preached for 54 hours over 2 weeks and keep my voice and then travel from one country to another and all those bumpy roads and then home, traveling home another 31 hours. Go to bed 1:30 in the morning. Get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Take my wife to breakfast full of energy. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see them do that. Is that not the power of God in manifestation? I don't know what else you could call it. It's certainly not man. Not tired at all. If that isn't demonstration of the power of God, I would like to know what is. When Brother Bram was inspired, he said inspired preaching for 20 minutes is equal to 8 hours of hard labor. And preach for 54 hours, 8 hours a day. And still God retained the voice. If that isn't power and demonstration, I don't know what is. From beyond the curtain of time, Brother Bram said, I have to depend on you to pray for me. See, besides that, they claim that 20 minutes of preaching under inspiration is compared with 8 hours of hard work to your body. I preach from 2 to 3 hours a night, sometimes 3 times a day. See, so do I. From church choosing law for grace, he said, and there's my daughter-in-law. When she'd been on the meetings this last long 8 weeks journey, once she come home, she went to bed for 3 days or 4 days just to rest. Said she was nearly dead. Well, the boys, all of them, is just drooped around. I come home and no more got half my suitcase out till there I was, going all day, all night, and going all day and night. Just keep on like that, on and on and on. And I said, well, now, you think it's rough just to go around, just to stand in the meetings and come down, sit down at the meeting, enjoy it, and go home, go to bed, and sleep half the day, half the next day? If you wish to, get up. Go to the next meeting, then you get tired. Just take the responsibility of one of them meetings upon your shoulders and know that you're responsible for it, see? Answering to everything, then preach, then 20 minutes of influential speaking is compared to 8 hours of hard work, so science says, to your body. Sometimes I preach an hour and a half, 2 hours, and besides that, one vision will tear you down more than 3 days of preaching would do, see? And then have 30 of those a night. See, there's no way. It's just a miracle, an outstanding miracle of itself from God that lets me live. And he does that for your sake. And that's what I do in these meetings. 2 to 3 services a day, 7 to 8 hours a day preaching. Congo, 9.5 hours preaching a day for 2 weeks or more. And tell me that is not the power of God. If rebuking a severe thunderstorm with hail and raindrops so large that you couldn't hear yourself preach, and then after rebuking that storm in the name of the Lord, and suddenly the sun shines through and it becomes so quiet that you can whisper to the church with a church full packed of preachers, and you can just preach to them whispering, and so quiet that you could hear a pin drop, if that isn't the power of God, then what is? And then go outside after the service and see in all directions, 360 degrees all around you, that same storm still pounding away. And as black and ugly as ever, except for right over our heads where we were preaching, to see the only sun in the sky is only right over where we're at. And to see that the winds that were so awful strong are everywhere except for that little oasis that God left us to teach in. And then say, that's not the power of God in demonstration. That's just teaching doctrine. And then you ministers who said, preach, not teach. You ministers who have committed adultery and left your wife for a younger woman. And you can tell me I'm supposed to preach and not teach? You tell me you know what you're talking about? I indict you bunch of organizational preachers who would rather have a man that is an adulterer who'd rather have a man that's a fornicator in their pulpit, who'd rather have a man that's a child molester in their pulpit, than a man with the power of God backing up the doctrines he teaches. And I challenge every minister in America and Canada to come and sit with me with your Bibles open and show me where I'm teaching the message wrong. And I challenge you, bring 400 of your best trained and let's see where you stand. Bring your cameras and bring your television equipment, you message so-called ministers. You that have got television programs, shame on you. Come and put up or shut up. For I adjure thee in the name of Jesus Christ to bring your Bibles, bring your message books, and show the whole world, if you dare, where I teach the message wrong. But you won't, because you can't. Because you know that Brother Vela has taught it right. And you know that God has used my ministry to make it so clear that you would be very insane to even try. But you try if you will, and come. I adjure thee, come. I'm waiting for you to come. And if you won't come, then just shut up and back off. And get out of the way of God, because He's doing something. He's getting His children ready for an adoption, and if you don't want any part of it, then just get out of their way. Yes, they rather would have child molesters, fornicators, adulterers, thieves and robbers come into their pulpits, but they'll go halfway around the world to try to persuade the Ugandan people to avoid my meetings. And I indict this bunch of hypocrites for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And from the indictment, Brother Brown said, what do? They took a Barabbas, a murderer, instead of the Son of God at the day of the first crucifixion. And today they're taking some man's words, which is a lie, and the way of death, and refusing to take the way of life, God's word. I condemn this generation. I indict them in the name of the Lord that they're wrong. They're guilty of the crucifixion of trying to crucify the Spirit. In closing, Brother Bram said from the indictment, paragraph 51, and these people keep the congregation away from God. And if there's anything happens and is spoke of in the congregation, they condemn it from the platform, from the pulpit, and they say it's fanaticism, stay away from it. In doing so, they crucify Jesus Christ in 1963 and are just as guilty as those guys are at that day. That's an awful statement, but it's the truth. That's exactly what they do today. And upon this grounds, upon the grounds of crucifying Christ, upon the grounds of taking the word and taking it away from the people, is exactly what they're doing there. The very word that God was reflecting through His own Son to prove it was. And the one that they claimed that they loved, the Jehovah that had manifested Himself in the Scriptures, done exactly what He said that He would do, exactly what God said that He would do, and reflected it before the Prince of Life, and they condemned before them, because of their love for church groups and things like that, they condemn the Prince of Life. And I condemn that same group today and indict them as guilty before God by the Word of God that they're doing the same thing today. This generation is indicted. Paragraph 48. How I could bring an indictment right there at men who know this Word to be the truth and will compromise on it to show a face before some organization, see? And I have a right to indict them, that's right, upon God's Word. And finally, from deceived church by the world, Brother Bram said, paragraph 50. But as Israel was bound by their kings that they could not follow the real king and the real king when he came, they didn't recognize him. So is it today, O Lord. The King of glory has appeared in the form of the Holy Ghost, and Lord, they don't know it. They don't recognize it. They're so organized, so tight, that they do not understand it because it's not in their organization. Lord, this is the work of the devil that's done this to the people. But may the Samson of God, may the true in heart, those who are longing and crying and pleading and holding on, may they stay with it, Lord, until this new crop grows out. Until there comes forth again a joy in Zion. And there comes forth a group that can recognize and can understand. And that can see the Messiah and the hidden power that's hid from the world that they will not understand now. Grant, Lord, that they'll see this, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we recognize, Lord, the words today have been very cutting. You put the sword in the hand. There's been an indictment to this nation, this continent, this world of so-called message preachers that don't believe the doctrine that your prophet taught. And I indict them by the same word of God that the prophet of God indicted them for back then. I'm indicting them today in 2006 for the second crucifixion of the Son of God. Putting the Word of God to an open shame. Teaching the world that, telling the world that Brother Branham was a oneness when he is not. when Brother Branham claimed he was not a oneness, and yet they claim to teach what he taught, and yet they're teaching error, they're teaching falsehood, and they're holding on to a denominational falsism, a delusion, instead of taking the revelation of Jesus Christ. So I indict them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's only one thing left then, Father, and that is a judgment. And so, Lord, we just ask that if there be any out there, Father, that you would by mercy grant them, Lord, a pardon. We would ask pardon for them and grace, Father. And Father, we just pray that you would get ready now your bride for the going home. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Make us, Lord, with hearts that are ripe and that are ready, Lord, that are, as your son was obedient. For the son learned, although he was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He didn't have his own doctrine. He preached your doctrine. He didn't have his own will. He gave up his will. He didn't come doing acts without you showing him what to do. And he didn't speak except for what you commanded him to say. And may we thus follow in the footsteps of our older brother, for we ask it humbly, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded.